two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, at the direction of President Russell M. Nelson, prophet, seer, and revelator of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have the wonderful opportunity and responsibility to fast and pray, and those others who would like to join us in so doing, for relief, worldwide relief, from the effects of the coronavirus. As believers in God, from whatever denomination, we believe that we have access to our Father in heaven. For that purpose, these prayers are a wonderful opportunity. There have been similar opportunities that have existed throughout the history of the church. I'm not going to go into those in detail. Times of sadness, of famine, of difficulty, great ones church-wide and smaller ones, more individualistic and family-oriented, great catastrophes. But keep in mind that whether great or small, and this is certainly one of the greater ones, our Father in heaven listens to the prayers of those who petition him. On October 9th of 1843, Joseph Smith spoke at the funeral services of a man named James Adam. And he made this comment: if you could gaze into heaven for 5 minutes, you would know more than you would by reading all that has ever been written on the subject. Close quote. Joseph Smith had many visions, gazed into heaven for far more than 5 minutes. And his point was that our Father in heaven is in charge. Another point that bears remembering at a time like this is that we have a great future in front of us. I've heard and seen this on an individual level and on a great level. And I'd like to mention the story of someone from whom I heard in kind of a micro way the same thing that, in a macro way, we're facing as a society, although not with an illness, but due to someone who was bent on doing evil. I'll just call this gentleman, who I know fairly well, David, as a first name. He was shot in the chest with a 12-gauge shotgun in his grandmother's kitchen by an uncle who was angry at him and who was drunk. And David thought that his life might very well be over. There are not too many people who survive a shotgun blast like that. He said that the shotgun blast hit him in the lower right abdomen and it blew him backwards into the back door that was in the kitchen. He fell on his knees and he began to cry and also to pray. Prayer is what we're supposed to be doing today. He also said that he was ultimately taken to the hospital, and about a week after entering the hospital, while in intensive care, he he told me they slipped away and they had to again resuscitate him with the paddles, which had happened while he was on the way to the hospital the first time. And during that night in intensive care, about a week after being shot point blank in the chest with a shotgun, he was looking around the room and he said that he could see everything. And then standing by one side of his bed, he said, was my savior. And I asked him what this looked like. Could it have been a dream? Was it a desire? What was it? And he said, it was as plain to me then as you standing in front of me are now. As he continued his description of this fascinating event, there was kind of a scene that opened up before him. What was this scene? It was a scene with a number of people in front of it. He was at the edge of a great canyon, and he was looking down, and Jesus was at his side. And he described it as something akin to being at the top of a huge monument, maybe in Yosemite or Zion National Park or something. And yet he said it was very green and beautiful. And he said that as he looked down into this valley, it was filled almost shoulder to shoulder with people. And all of them had great anticipation. He said you could just feel it in the air. They were waiting for some miraculous, wonderful event of some kind. And then he turned again to Jesus, his Savior, and said, what are they waiting for? And Christ told him, they are waiting for the second coming. They are waiting for the resurrection. And they are waiting for redemption. Now, that's quite a remarkable description. But he saw it as clear as anything he has ever seen in his life. And he described it as something that was wonderful. And he said, because of that, whatever happened or whatever would happen in his life beyond that point would be fine. He would never fear again. Certainly there are some things that might not be pleasant, but he would know that ultimately everything would turn out all right. There's a great analogy, of course, to our circumstances today. Some people wonder, will I catch the coronavirus? Will people that I know pass away? Will the country survive this? What will happen with all of the financial burdens that the federal government and even local governments are taking upon us? And of course, if there was ever a time for something like that, you would think now would be it. And yet there's still consternation and worry about such a thing. Remember the message that my friend David told me, which is God is in charge. All will be well. The second coming will eventually happen, and it will be wonderful. Another example of trials that ultimately result in the knowledge that things will be well with this country, something I've mentioned in passing before. There was a vision in the 1890s by a Springfield patriarch named Charles Evans. It was even published in the precursor magazine to the New Era. It was called The Contributor back then. This is in volume 15, August 1894. It's on page 638, if you'd ever like to go look it up. What happened was that Patriarch Evans was worried about his country. Sound familiar? He was concerned about what the future held for him individually and for his family and for the country as a whole. He said as he gazed upward, he saw descending into his bedroom with a gentle gliding movement, a personage clothed in white, whose countenance was beautiful and serene, and he was so bright that his description resembled a diamond under intensely illuminated electric light, which dazzled. That's his description, not mine. He said that this being who came to him gave him unspeakable joy. And this heavenly visitor then talked about his fear over the country and over his friends. Now, when we come back from our break, more about what this messenger told Patriarch Evans. We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Today, we're discussing a little bit about the coronavirus and the fears and concerns that people have. And my message today of fasting and prayer, as suggested by President Nelson, our prophet, seer, and revelator, who has as his goal and his aim relief for the world from the coronavirus. And he has the belief that our Heavenly Father will help us if we petition him. And we should also believe that. For we believe, as Joseph Smith described, and as we find in the book of James, that God ultimately listens to all prayers. If you have a question or comment about this show or about some other religious question, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. And incidentally, the coronavirus strikes me as well as others. I don't have it, but the wonderful cruise that I was anticipating in going on, the Book of Mormon cruise, has been canceled, which would not be a surprise to anyone, but that's why I haven't mentioned it lately. So this has affected me in a very minor way compared with how it's affected some others. But let's go back to the vision that Charles Evans had, a patriarch in Springfield in the 1890s, whose vision was published in the 15th volume of The Contributor, which was the precursor to the new era. So this angel comes into his room at night and talks to him about the concern that he has about our country. And he described it as something that's similar to what we have today in some ways. He said, confidence seems to be lost, and yet there's plenty of food and clothing, gold and silver in the land, but there's confusion about policies and finances in the country. Also sounds very familiar. And there are different factions with different ideas about what to do. He also describes something that is reminiscent of recent history. Monuments erected to perpetuate the names of the noble and brave were destroyed. That sounds a little bit like what happened in 2017 in Charlottesville, North Carolina. There was also the Washington Monument, which was put at risk a decade before that when somebody threatened to blow it up. Other things that are very similar. So then he talks about different plagues, which were to be part of the last day. Perhaps this is one of them. But then he describes foreign powers trying to influence and invade the nation, and that Latter-day Saints should stay firm and in favor of the Constitution in its original form, which I certainly would be, and find a reassuring message, because that's the way to preserve freedom. it's never a good idea to give up freedom for safety in any significant way. And then he talks, and this is the part that I would like to really focus in on, because often we talk about some of the difficulties and calamities, but this is one of great hope ultimately, because at the end of this vision, he talks about the light of the gospel bursting forth, quote, with a luster that filled the earth, close quote. He describes cities appearing in many directions and growing larger. He describes in the center of this U.S. continent, North American continent, U.S., United States is a country, but in the center of the continent upon which the United States is found, there was a large city which he described as the embodiment of architectural science, with towers that glittered with a radiance emanating from the sparkling of its beautiful, beautiful structure. And then he talked about beautiful gardens that he saw there that were arranged to perfection. He talked about fountains made to beautify this wonderful city that formed rainbows in the light. He described great learning that was to take place in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but also for all others who were interested in pursuing the truth. And some of this was done with Urim and Thummims, which were available for the study of past, present, and future. He also describes some of the things that were learned, properties of matter, their arrangements, laws, different things that seem so hard to many now were made simple and plain, he says, as plain as a primer lesson of a child. He said that angels brought forth treasures of knowledge which had been hidden for the entire history of the world until then. He described appliances for making learning easy that surpass all conjecture. Maybe he's talking about some of the smartphones and computers that we have today. Chemistry rendered simple. Construction of life and of this world and universe, and operations of laws and of the mind and of the purposes of life were made equally plain and simple to understand. He goes on to describe how he was amazed at a transformation that happened right before his eyes, which showed how, quote, particles composing the inorganic kingdom of nature are conducted upward to become a part of organic forms, close quote. What he's saying there is how living things can incorporate non-living things, you know, like food, other things, perhaps such as medicine. He talked about beautiful cities, and he also described a place that he believed was Zion. Now, where do we go with this? Well, there are a number of other similar kinds of descriptions, which is one of the reasons that I love these kinds of visions so much. Some of the near-death experiences which I have firsthand heard, some of these visions which I have collected and found, all show great promise and future, even though we will live through difficult and tumultuous times like we are now. God is in charge. He will not let everything collapse. We will have a great, wonderful future. And if we seek Him in prayer, I believe that He will hear our prayers and will grant us the relief that we desire. And I believe that, as President Nelson has asked us to do, that if we pray and seek relief from the coronavirus, that that relief can and will be granted. These kinds of beliefs are things that take a measure of faith, not perfect faith, and they don't take a perfect person for them to happen. They just take desire, and a desire from the heart with pure intent is the right kind. And if we do that, our Father in heaven, I believe, will answer our prayers. Keep hope, keep faith, keep love, give service. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.